2007 was a roller coaster of a year for Ramo Thierry Sokoju. He burst onto the scene with back-to-back knockouts over light heavyweight studs Antonio Rogério Nogueira and Ricardo Arona. And most MMA experts were expecting more of the same in his UFC debut against Lyoto Machida. But unfortunately for him, he would suffer only the second loss of his young career via arm triangle choke to the undefeated Brazilian. So where does the African assassin go from here? Well, only one man knows that answer, and that's the man joining me on the line right now. Sokoju, welcome to the park, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Did I make you laugh there, or was it something else that...
No, I'm just always happy, excited to be on the show, you know. So.
All right, talking about your career, and we're very excited to have you at the park. So first, let's kind of move backwards here. UFC 79, your big UFC debut, a lot of excitement, a lot of hype surrounding it. And like I said, unfortunately, things didn't really go the way you planned. What went wrong against Machida?
Well, I think I was being too serious in that fight, and I choked. So usually I'm more relaxed. I'm just going to fight as if I was going to practice. But that specific fight, I was trying to be more serious. I was trying to be what I'm usually not as a fighter. So that's where things kind of went wrong.
Because it was your UFC debut, you felt a little more pressure than your debut in Pride?
Well, I won't put it that way. One of the facts is I just was trying to get back into fighting because I've been out for so long, and then I was eager to go back in the cage. I was just trying to get there as soon as possible and trying to make things right. But then I became a different person. And as far as UFC debut, it was just a fight. I don't see it as, you know, moving to a different organization and having the jitter or anything. It's just me not being who I'm usually during the fight.
You know, Machida, he's gotten this label now as not exactly being the most exciting fighter, but always seems to find a way to pick up a victory despite his style, where it doesn't really bring out the best in his opponent. Did you find something difficult about going up against a guy like Machida, who doesn't really lend himself to, you know, like that exciting fight, never really exposes himself to get the big knockout or anything like that? Did you find yourself a little frustrated with him in the bout?
I mean, I knew well the back that would be, like you said, running away and trying to score points and run away. So I wasn't surprised or frustrated by his style, since I knew what to expect from him.
And then afterwards, any talk with the UFC? I mean, obviously, every time a guy such as yourself that they acquire from Pride or any big free agent, you obviously want to get a victory. Did you have a chance to talk with them about where they think that your career would go from now, what your next fight would be?
Actually, I do not directly talk to the UFC. I have a manager who handles all of that.
Right.
And I think I still have a few more fights with the UFC, unless things happen. I haven't had a chance to get to that, but I'm pretty sure I'll have another fight sometime soon.
Do you have any idea when it's going to be or against whom?
No, that I'll know. I think I'll know by next week. So you kind of call me a week before I can give you that information.
Oh, man. All right. So we'll talk to you next week, and then and you'll give us the scoop at Jerry Park, and hopefully you'll know who will be.
All right. Bye. By next Friday, I'm sure I'll know where and who I'm fighting.
Okay, cool. But now that we have you here, I wanted to ask you a few more questions. Do you think, you know, with all the guys from Pride coming over and not doing as well as they did in Pride, do you think there's a reason for that, or it just has to, you know, it's just a coincidence of sorts that, you know, now they're in the UFC and just so happens that a handful of guys happen to lose their first bouts in the UFC?
Well, I don't see it as coming from Pride and losing because of the first fight in the UFC. I see it as a fight. You go to fight and then you lose. So whether you're coming from the UFC, from Pride or from any other organization, if you don't come prepared or if you make a mistake, you're going to lose. So I don't think it's a matter of coming from Pride or someplace else. It's just the fight, you know. Show up, fight, and you might win and you might lose.
You know, in all the build-up to your fight against Machida, there was an interesting story that you said that your parents back in home in Cameroon have no idea that you are a UFC fighter or a mixed martial artist. Is that really true? Do your parents really not know what you do over here in the States?
No, they don't know yet.
They have no idea. They don't have the internet. They don't Google you. They have no idea what you do. It's not that hard to find out.
Well, for one, they're on the internet. It's back home, or like here where you wake up in the morning, you have the connection that you have. My parents live about 30 to 45 minutes from the nearest internet cafe kind of stuff. And they don't speak English, so even if they were to read, they won't be able to understand whatever they're saying. And so that's why I'm still, they still don't know because of the language and the internet access.
What's the reason behind you not telling them? I mean, obviously you're not ashamed of your career in mixed martial arts. Is there another reason why you have yet to tell your parents about the success you've garnered here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, different people, different mentality. For one, ever since I was a kid, they always told me that I will never do any kind of striking martial arts or boxing or anything. That's the reason why they let me do judo, because there was no kicking, no punching, and that thought judo was a non-violent sport. So as far as even thinking about doing boxing was a no-no ever since I was back home. So let alone mixed martial arts, which is even more violent. So that's the reason.
At some point, are you going to tell them, or are you looking to go your entire career without telling them once?
I would love for them not to find out because, I don't know, because the idea of mixed martial of boxing, because they know mixed martial arts isn't really popular back home, so what they know is boxing. And you know what, when you look at the boxer at the end of his career, how his brain is all messed up and all of that, so that's what it see boxers as, people coming out of there with brain damage and all those unhealthy kind of results from fighting.
Is there a chance that your parents would find out that you fight in the UFC and then, you know, give you an ultimatum that, you know, they'll disown you or else you give up your career?
I don't want to think about that, but I don't know.
All right. I wanted to ask you about prior to joining the UFC, because it seemed as though at first you were going to sign with K1 Heroes. Then there was actually, even before that, there were rumors that you were going to sign with Elite XC. What happened, you know, with all those other companies that led to you eventually signing with the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Well, for one, the negotiations were not really going as fast as I wanted it, because as you notice, I spent freaking almost 8 months home not fighting, so there was too much talking and nothing being solved. And then after watching, you know, after being home for so long and not being able to fight it, and the UFC always had an offer on the table for me, I decided to move to the UFC because it didn't take me that long for me to get a fight with the UFC, which I really needed because I didn't want to spend a whole year without fighting.
Did you have to take some sort of pay cut to join the UFC as opposed to what you were being offered originally by those companies?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Were you because you were so antsy to get into the octagon and actually get a fight under your belt, did you have to sort of lower your asking price that you were originally asking when Pride went under or was bought by the UFC, you know, from what you originally told K1, Elite XC, and then had to
sell? Sorry, I think I'm going through a bad spot of you kind of cutting out. Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry about that.
No. All right, I just wanted to know if you had to ask for less money to join the UFC because you were so antsy to fight for the company and to get a fight under your belt as opposed to what you were asking from Elite XC or K1?
Well, like I said, the UFC had enough on the table and other organizations had other offers, but the UFC was the one that were, you know, solid, where I could just come up and say, hey, I want to, which happened. Once I told my manager, you know what, we've been waiting for so long and nothing comes to a conclusion, so let's go to the UFC. Not only it's in the U.S., but everybody's going to the UFC nowadays, and most of the top fighters are in the UFC, so whether I make less or more money now, at the end, if I do good, well, I might make it up for it. So that was the reason.
Exactly. Exactly a year ago from today, You had yet to make your debut in Pride. You made your debut Pride 33 on February 24th. So you had really, a lot of MMA fans didn't know much about you. How much has your life changed in that year since you knocked out Antonio Rogério Nogueira up till today after making your UFC debut and everything?
Well, my life has changed a lot. And now people kind of take me more seriously, which kind of sucks. You know, jokes that used to be funny back in the days, I'm not anymore because of what I've done and what people portray me as. And in a way, it's a good thing, but in a different way, it kind of sucks because the same people that I've known forever now look at me different, touch me different, which, you know, if I act different, you know how it is. If you are different as they think you should act, they'll come back and say, now they'll use the superstar, Tom Gordon, and all of that. So it's kind of hard to kind of be the same guy while people change the way they talk to you and deal with you around you. So it's been a little difficult, but, well, that's the life I chose.
Despite the fact that you say your parents don't know about what you do, back home, do you get, you know, some sort of press or anything from any of the Cameroonian papers or press, or do they really not cover MMA at all?
I haven't got any kind of press interest from back home. Like I said, MMA isn't really big out there, and there's a language barrier. And then most of my friends and nobody that usually live in Europe or live overseas over here. So I haven't got any feedback. I mean, a lot of feedback from back home yet.
You know, one of the more popular boxers from Cameroon is Herman Ngoju, a guy we spoke to recently at Anjai Park. He now lives where I'm originally from, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Are you familiar with Herman?
No.
The Black Panther, he fought Pauly Malignaggi, one of the top boxers in Cameroon. I was just curious if you tried to follow your countryman's career in the world of combat sports.
Who did he fight?
He fought Pauly Malignaggi.
No. To tell the truth, I didn't know a whole lot of boxing until about a year ago when I started fighting. So I was more into judo, and then once I started fighting MMA, that's when I kind of got into Muay Thai more than actually boxing. So I'm sorry not to recognize my countryman, but I don't. No, I
won't tell him that you said that. Don't worry about it. Just a couple more questions before I let you go. Everyone knows that you train at Team Quest in Temecula. Obviously, Dan Henderson is a big part of that. The big part of that team. He has a big fight against Anderson Silva in a month. How has it been, the training going with Dan, getting ready for that middleweight title bout?
It's been going good. Every day he gets better, and you know. Training's been good for him. He's got a bunch of guys coming from all over the place to help him get ready. So he's got a room full of new bodies, new styles, different. You know, we know Anderson Silva is tall and lengthy and is a good Muay Thai. So he's been having a bunch of Muay Thai and all kind of crazy people coming from all over the place to help him train. So it's been going good so far.
All right, and now about yourself. I know you don't know what your next fight is going to be or against who, but is there one guy in particular? I mean, Machida now is probably going to be fighting Tito Ortiz. It seems as though that's a definite for May 24th, but is there one guy in the loaded light heavyweight division that you'd like to fight in the UFC?
Well, since I got my ass kicked, I guess I didn't have to wait for whomever to send my way. You know, if I were to win, that's why I would have said, hey, I want to fight some other guys, but now that I'm out of the upper hand, all I got to do is just sit back and wait for them to throw any name at me.
Are you interested in a rematch with Machida? I mean, he had some interesting things to say after your bout about, you know, being the guy who kills all the assassins, the Alaskan assassin, the African assassin. Would you like to try to get another shot at him?
You know, I used to have a lot of respect for the guy until he said that, so I love to get back in there and fight him again.
It pissed you off, you know, right?
I'm sorry?
Did it piss you off what he said afterwards?
Well, you know, it kind of pissed me off, but this is a sport, and, you know, you got to respect people. Respect is the least thing you can do. You cannot just come up and disrespect anybody just like that. You know, you can go home with the win or the lose, but at least you got to respect whoever. You got to respect people. You know, these are respect. You can do anything you want, but not showing respect to the people around you, that's just not right. And I used to have a lot of respect for the guy, and now it's just, you know, I'm just not. I don't even try to talk about the way to use, but it's not cool for guys to be respected for on the mic like that.
All right, so maybe we'll see Sokoju against Machidas 2 sooner rather than later. Thanks a lot for joining us. And, you know, like I said, when you do find out when your next bout, since we worked so hard to get you to Jari Park, come right back and and let us know. We never worked so hard to get a guy here, but very excited to be talking with you.
It's just because after my last fight, I got this call from some people for me to be in the movie. So in between traveling every day from L.A. to my place and being in L.A. all day doing different things, turning my phone off, and, you know, it's been kind of difficult for me to
You're a movie star now.
Well, not really, but...
Trying to be. What movie are you working on?
It's about fighting, so I'm one of the fighters, and I get my... I think I kicked some butts in the fight, but then a girl beat me up, so...
Is it a big Hollywood movie, or is it like a small indie thing?
No, it's kind of... Not a big time movie people will want. So.
All right. So,
but
very, very
for
busy
me, it'll
man.
Be. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're a very busy man, so now I understand why it was so hard to get you here.
It's just, I got to turn my phone off most of the day, or I'm driving and stuck in traffic, so it's just rushing to practice, rushing to the movie thing, and then it's been kind of crazy.
All right, well, no problem. Thank you very much again, and best of luck in your upcoming bout and the rest of your career in MMA. And hopefully we'll keep the secret. We won't tell your parents.
All right, thank you, man.